What's up, dirtbags? Welcome to episode 257,
I believe.
257.
I think it's 257.
I always write it on the top of my sheet of paper, and I didn't this time. So what's up, dirtbags? Welcome to episode 257 of the Midwest Angler Podcast. I'm Scott Sturman, and I'm joined by Matt Deitch, back from a two-week hiatus.
You are, not me.
Yeah.
Don't make it sound
you've
like
been
a,
here.
Well, we are back from two-week
we
hiatus.
We are back.
Yes, with the podcast. You're looking kind of tan, man.
A couple days ago, I was looking pretty red. And I actually started peeling. I noticed tonight, as I was in the shower, that I started peeling up on my shoulders today sometime. So, whatever, but, I just playing through the pain. It's one of those deals, we're out on a beach and, you know, you're feeling pretty good. Nah, you know, I don't think I'm really getting burned.
Right.
My wife's like, hey, you want a little suntan lotion? Nah, I think
good.
I'm good right now, you know, cause honestly, I'm not much of a swimmer. I did a lot more. I walked into the water a couple times, but did a lot more sitting over at the cabana, you know, and, whatever. But then all of a sudden it's like, you know, I think I might have some of that suntan lotion. Kind of feeling a little warm over
a little
there.
Crisp.
Yep. By that time it's too late.
Yeah, it usually is. It's always too late by the time you put it on. Yep. So,
but whatever the case, episode 257. Are we sure it's 257?
I'm pretty sure it's 257. Look back in your book quick here. In the notes.
It does,
just
God.
Quick flip it over and see.
257. It is 257. So episode 257 and all the other episodes are brought to you by our good friends over at Dakota Angler in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Josh messaging me right now. They got new Blackfish Guide sun shirts in stock. Two different colors. Shimano Katana spinning reels on sale. They've got a few Minn Kota trolling motors left with hundreds of dollars off.
Yeah, they had some major prices on those.
Wasn't Seth Yarrington just ask us where to get
like a Tarova, I think is what he wants.
No, go check it out. Go check it out. See what they got. But, and he also said that, going to be a pretty big Rapala sale coming down the pipe this spring. So,
that's
get in there. Go
one thing
check
you
it
can
out.
Never have enough of.
That's right. Tackle in general.
Yeah.
Tackle in general.
Get in there. Check out all the new stuff that's coming out for the spring. Get it now while it's hot, man.
Yep. Get it now while you can.
Yeah.
Because looks like in the 10-day forecast, good weather from here on out. I think
going to be seeing a lot of boats out now.
Yep, shorts and t-shirts by next weekend.
Now it's definitely better bring your boat season.
You better bring your boat. Heck, there's still ice fishing tournaments going on.
There's still ice fishing going on all over the way up north. So
yep, but whatever the case, if you can't get in there to Dakota Angler there on the north side of Sioux Falls, go to www.dakotaangler.com. Use code DIRTBAG at checkout. Save yourself a little cash. And
can't go wrong.
Nope, you absolutely cannot.
Be happy that you did.
Yep. Dakota Angler, also a big sponsor of Hooked on Hardwater. Our last episode was a recap of HOH, but shout out to them for that. And speaking of HOH, rod auction. Rod auction. Last time we were on, the rod auction had just kicked off. And I'll be honest, I was a little nervous going into an online auction. You know, if you've ever been to the Hooked on Hardwater banquet, you know that, you know, there's a lot of energy in the room. There's a lot of heavy hitters in the room.
Yeah.
You know,
get a couple guys bidding against each other, the prices can go up pretty fast.
I mean, we saw it again this year, custom rods that, blow past $1,000.
Yep.
And, obviously you can't throw 20 custom rods all on the live auction, because then instead of having two rods bring, $2,000 each, you have, you know, 20 rods that each bring $200 each. Yep. And, you know, it kind of gets saturated, and, And there's a lot of people that know about Hooked on Hard Water that can't make it to the Hooked on Hard Water banquet, can't make it out there to Rapid City. So the online auction is a good opportunity for those guys that
And especially the ones that do see them at the Ice Institute, and they're just like, yeah, oh man, yep, like how could I get these? Well, you guys can actually bid on them. I mean, you don't have to be there, and they'll ship them to you and stuff like that. So just know that if you see one that you really like at the Ice Institute, you can always, you can buy that rod if you want.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of people ask us, oh, is it for sale? Well, it is.
Yep.
And now you can.
Yep. And, you know, maybe this next year, you know, I don't know how we can, I don't know. I don't know if we can take down email addresses and tell them that we'll email them links to the,
right,
you know, to the auction when that thing finally does go live. I mean, that Budweiser handle,
yeah,
rod, I mean, we could have sold that 80 times over, and
yeah, we could have,
you know, so whatever. You know, like I said, I was nervous about it. There's obviously a couple things that I feel that we need to do different next year. Some better pictures. You know, I'm just going to say it. The auction site did not have good pictures. I should have done a better job probably taking some pictures here before I sent those rods out to Rapid City, made a good Facebook post, you know, showcased the thread work on it, the handles, you know, some of the neat details that were on some of these rods. And I didn't. We dropped the ball there. And, you know, I mean, it's not just the auction people. It's not just the people at the Club for Boys. It's not just us, all of us. But, you know, this was something new.
Yeah, it was something new
that we had never done before.
We'll advance next year with it. You know, again, yeah, we will. We'll get better with it.
I mean, we made over $2,000 with those rods. Right. $2,315. You know, all the rods brought over $100. You know, a couple of them, heck, I think, what's Stromsness's rod end up going for? $400, $380?
Last time I saw it was like $380, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be upset about any of that. It's a lot of money raised for the boys. And just cool, because we need that that ice rod contest for our booth up there at the Ice Institute. It's a good way to parlay that into helping out the boys by, you know, sending these rods off to auction. Everyone kind of ends up a winner. I hope, you know, these builders kind of, you know, see it as an opportunity to showcase their stuff. I've already had a lot of the builders message me and say, hey, I've already, you know, already coming up with ideas for next year. So I hope they see the value in it too.
Yeah, and we can't thank them enough for doing that. If it wasn't for those guys, we couldn't do this.
The whole thing starts with the builders. If the builders don't donate,
they're willing to donate. These guys donate. These guys, like we've told you that before, but I mean, they do. They take a lot of their own time to put them in this into this contest, knowing that they're going to go and get auctioned off for the Club for Boys. So we can't thank them enough for doing all of that and being super supportive of it. I mean, we have some that donate two so that we can give one away to everybody that votes on it, and you get a vote for free. So I mean, that's what makes all of this so awesome.
Yep. No, definitely some top-notch people that we truly appreciate.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to next year, because we already have people. There's a lot of guys that I saw online that were just like, hey, you know, I want to get in this next year. I'm doing this next year. So just for all you guys that want to, just stay in contact with us. And, you know, early November is when the Ice Institute is, so start getting those rods ready.
Yep, and I can say right now, I promise that next year, you know, the pictures, the details, whatever, we'll do a better job on that. Speaking of ice fishing, Matt, Kings of Panfish had a tournament yesterday, which would have been Saturday. It was
Sunday.
It was Sunday. The 10th?
I believe so.
The 10th. And that one got one. Joel Kotke Tad Westerman up in first place. Matt Thayer and Aaron Berg in second. And the Iowa Great Lakes locals, Ben Luderman, Colby Craninger, past guests on the show, came home with third. That's probably like the worst they've finished in a tournament in like 5 years.
Yeah. Probably not if we asked them, but no, they, it seems like it. It seems, I mean, you knew that their name was going to be up there. So,
yep.
It was cool. I was glad that they were able to get that Kings of Panfish tournament in. I think they, I don't know if they had a Switch Lakes with it or not, but I know that.
No machines.
Right. With the ice conditions this year, yeah, there was no machine. So it was kind of interesting to watch all the setups on the, you know, which was cool too.
I mean, yeah,
it's like
yeah.
For everybody that is always complaining about like, oh, like, you know, all the technology and the machines and all this stuff. It's like, well, all right, these guys are hoofing it just like everybody else. And they had some creative sleds and some layouts.
Some Smitty sleds that like people were like putting 1 foot on there and like almost kicking it like a scooter.
Yeah, some of them, it was almost like a dogless dog sled.
Yeah.
Some of
them,
they were like sitting on it and they were both kicking and then they would glide a little ways. So
badass.
It really was.
Yep. No, I liked that. You know, like I said, hats off to them for actually still getting the tournament in. I know that there was a lot of donations and whatnot that come in and, you know, you end up having to cancel that and it's like, well, what do you do? You know,
right.
Do we save it for next year? You know, next year's not guaranteed neither. Do you mail all the donations back? You know, a lot of time and effort went into that. And,
well, it's crazy. It's really crazy to think about because like this time in years past, like we were pumped because with daylight savings time and getting an hour extra sunlight, we could go after work and we could run over to Okoboji and get some ice fishing in. And it's just like, I was thinking about that today. Yeah, it's like, we're going to be able to go get the boats.
Yep. It just popped up in memories. 6 years ago. So that was right after I got back from my very first Hooked on Hard Water. But Blair Wilson and I went over to East Okoboji and talked about how we caught bluegill, yellow bass, perch, and a couple walleyes. And I remember that day distinctly. I didn't remember that was right after my first HOH, but I do.
Look at the conditions out there compared to what it is now.
I mean. Yeah, it does say, hoping this wasn't my last day out on the hard water for the season. But you know, it's like... Yeah, we said that, you know, three weeks ago back here, but whatever, you know, it's a wild year. We don't need to tell anyone about that, but one thing about it, you know, turkey season and a lot of that, you know, spring snow goose, whatever is here or right around the corner, so whatever, I guess.
Yeah, so make sure that Minnesota people, make sure you're renewing your licenses. I don't know if we've talked about that or not. All these states that... February 28th, I think, was the end of the season in Minnesota. And
okay.
You got to renew your license up there. So
yeah, I think there's one that was, golly, is that South Dakota too?
There's
February 10?
No, theirs is always January 31st.
January 31st. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. So I know it's right before HOH.
Right.
But yeah, that makes sense. I that still to me is just absolutely wild.
What's that? That
you do it on a calendar year.
Right. No, I know.
January 1st.
Yep.
You get a year-long fishing license. You get a 2024 fishing license that goes from January 1st to December 31st.
Yep.
I don't know why we have to make this any harder than what it needs to be.
No, because we just have to. Minnesota's lines up with their walleye seasons and stuff like that, so.
Great! Great, like, I mean, I don't know. That to me is just wild.
That's weird.
I don't get it. But whatever. I'm not gonna throw stones at Minnesota. and all the other states, I guess. But one other ice fishing tournament that happened this past weekend, yesterday, like 2 days ago, today, I don't even know. The tournament was in Mongolia.
Oh, Mongolia.
Mongolia. The World Ice Fishing Championships of 2024. And I'll be honest, I don't know anything about it. There was a bunch of different countries there. Let me see here. USA ended up with second, and apparently that's a pretty big deal. You know, I don't think that that's, you know, you
was expected.
I think when you think about USA in everything, it's first place, first place, right. First place. I mean, check out the scoreboard at the Olympics. You know, it is what it is. But I don't think that this is typically one of those deals. But the USA did end up with second. It was won by Lithuania. Third place, Ukraine. Fourth place, Estonia. Fifth place, Finland. Sixth place, Latvia. Seventh place, Kazakhstan. I was going to do top five, but I just wanted to say Kazakhstan.
I know. I was wondering if you're going to get to some of the harder ones to pronounce.
Yep. Eighth place, Mongolia. Ninth place, Sweden. Tenth place, Norway. And it's absolutely wild looking at this, I guess I'm going to call it a score sheet. We're talking about grams. Grams.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say they're...
They measure it in grams, but we're talking 57...
Weigh it, yeah.
57.298 grams. I don't know. That's like in the best leg. Total weight was 103.524 grams. Penalties, 27. Like, we're... There's penalties, like...
So they went off of weight? They didn't have anything for, like, measurements as far as, like, length and everything like that? My guess is it's just weight.
I'll be honest. I don't know. In one leg, the penalties were 42.5. But the next people only got 27. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out.
I've heard like they use like super little precision augers, like 3-inch augers, because the fish that they're catching are super small, like palm rods. Like,
yep.
It's a whole different. You might be a really good ice fisherman here, going for walleyes. Right. Like the best walleye fisherman in the world, like wouldn't even know how to compete in this. It's just a totally
it's
different.
Crazy. It's a whole different mindset.
Yep. So, whatever the case, hats off to Team USA coming home in fifth. Keith Niffen, sixth. Chad Schwab, 13th. Nate Winters, 28th. Golly, I can't even read my own
name. I was going to say, I don't know.
Kevin Kowalski, and 32nd. Nicholas Schertz. So, whatever the case, hats off to those dudes.
Yeah.
I did see that I'm friends with a few of them. Maybe that's a potential guest, coming down in the next couple of weeks. I don't know. What's it like fishing in Mongolia? All right. Like, how far down the food chain are you in Mongolia? I feel like you should be a long ways.
There ain't no tigers that are prowling the shorelines. I wouldn't even be close.
I feel like those dudes are from Wisconsin.
A couple of those names sound Wisconsin-y.
I just feel like Wisconsin dudes... They're into that.
Yep.
And that's not a swipe at Wisconsin. That's almost like a feather in Wisconsin's hat.
Representing the USA.
Yeah, I don't know that like a dude from Northwest Iowa could go and do that.
No, unless, I don't know, they got, is there a lot of bush lights and Marlboros over at Mongolia?
I don't know, my brother could be interested could be interested. But... Well, there's a lot of beer drink over there in Wisconsin, too.
a lot of beer drink.
But, okay. All right. We're going to talk about it. It got shared on Facebook 25,000 times over the past week or two while we've been away.
It's the hot topic.
Wisconsin DNR going to ban LiveScope. Okay. So normally Matt and I kind of talk over before we record what we're going to... We talk about the subjects. We don't often dive into what we're going to actually say. This was one of them that I said, hey, you want to talk about it? He said, yep. And I said, all right, we're not even gonna bring anything up here beforehand just because, you know, I feel sometimes like... Matt and I can have a conversation over there on the couch, and then when we come over here to start recording, I feel like I've already told all you guys about this, but actually I told Matt what I was kind of feeling over there. So I'm just going to lay it out there. as crazy as this is, and people are pissed, like people are mad about this, and I get it. I mean, I've got one of those $2,500 investments. I don't want them to ban it.
Exactly,
like,
right.
You know, whatever. I also know that I've brought it out and didn't knock them dead. Didn't even catch fish. So right. I know that it's not a, you know, buy a $2,500 live scope, catch limits, go home. Simple as that. It's not like that. So a couple of the things that I want to talk about here are the fact that I guess for as much as what LiveScope is talked about online, you know, should be banned, shouldn't be banned, you know, it's been the hot topic for basically 2 years now, yeah. I would say for sure. And when I say LiveScope, we're lumping, you know, Active Target, everything.
We're forward facing.
Yep. Lumping everything into one. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about it. I guess I don't like that it's gotten to this point, but I'm going to pat the Wisconsin DNR on the back for opening it up to public opinion.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Like they're saying, hey guys, there's a lot of people that are pissed off about this. There's a lot of people that love it. We're going to throw this out to public opinion. Now you LiveScope owners in Wisconsin
better be there,
get off the couch yep. and go to the dang forum and state your opinion.
Right.
Don't get in there and cuss and swear because nope. trust me, that ain't going to do nothing. Go in there and tell them, hey guys, like this is a great tool. Just like at one point in time, people probably thought the Vexar was going to just ruin fishing.
Well, you think about it. One of their big gripes is like you can see the fish in live time and watch how it reacts to your bait and stuff like that. Okay, well, what else does that? A Vexlar does. I yep. mean, look at it. You've brought people out that have never used a Vexlar before, and pretty soon it's just like, okay, now you see this mark. This is your jig going down. You see that mark down there? That's a fish. Now watch it. Now, oh, here it comes. And they're just like, wow.
Yep.
I mean, I get it that with the Vexlar, you can't see out, like, you know, 100 feet this way, 100 feet that way, and everything like that. But it's basically, it's generally the same tool about,
yep.
just a little different, just advanced.
There is no doubt about it. You catch more fish with a live scope than what you would without it.
I think that's a term that people are messing up with a little bit. Is you catch more fish with it, you find more fish, you see where the fish are.
Yep,
and which makes you able to move and get to those fish a little bit more. Whereas like before, you know, like I mean, old Bob, he's sitting over there. He was only 30 foot away from me, and he was catching fish all day, and I sat over here and didn't catch a darn thing. Well, now with LiveScope, or with the forward-facing sonar technology, you can get up to a spot, you can scan around and be like, oh, there's fish over there. I mean, I remember when SideScan first came out, too, and people were driving around, and it's just like people spent more time driving around than actually fishing to find the fish, to find the sculpture, or find the structure, and then they would go back there and fish that stuff. So, I mean, this is just... I mean, even they're a little bit more advanced. And like you said, you know, all you live scope, forward-facing sonar owners better get out to that forum, because I can guarantee the people that aren't going to be there are the people that are complaining about it.
Right. Hopefully.
I truly feel like a lot of times, like, you might get one or two people, but, like, if you're passionate about it and you don't want it to get banned or even be in the conversation of being banned anymore, then get out there. And like Scott said, keep a level head about it, and ask good questions and make good points.
You know, it's wild when Scott Sermon says keep a level head.
but no, I mean, it really is. It's like you said, it's something that is definitely a hot button right now. And I don't know, even like the professional fishermen are complaining about it. I think a little bit of that is just, you know, then get advanced with it.
Yeah.
I mean, learn it and get good at it. You cannot blame everybody's upset with these young anglers coming in here. 19-year-old Trey McKinney comes in there and, you know, wins a bass tournament. And these young guys, they're dialed in on that stuff. They learn it. They're out there. They're, you know, what's the word I'm looking here? But they're enhancing their skills with it.
Yeah.
You know, making themselves, crafting their skill. Don't blame them for it. I mean, maybe some of these older guys, maybe it might be time to hit the R button, you know. Maybe it's time to hit the retirement button. You know, if you can't keep up, I mean, maybe it's a young man's game. It's in every, if you consider fishing a sport, well, every sport, guess what? I mean,
at a certain point,
you're starting to see it. I mean, I'm not a huge NASCAR follower and stuff like that, but the guys that we grew up watching on it and stuff like that,
they gone.
Some of them are starting to be on their farewell tours. Some of them, you know, what did Kenny Rogers always say? You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And some of these guys just, you know what? Maybe it's time to fold them.
Yep. But either way, with the whole Wisconsin DNR deal, hold on. I got a screenshot of it here. I'll actually read you exactly what it says. And, all right. The upcoming spring wildlife hearings include an advisory question that asks if anglers would be in favor of a total ban of live sonar and 360 imaging devices on all Wisconsin waters. The Wisconsin Conservation Congress and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will once again offer their annual opportunity for the public to provide input on a variety of natural resource related questions with an in-person opportunity April 8, 2024 at 6 p.m. in each county or online starting at noon April 10 to noon April 13, 2024. The question actually asks, with the ability of these types of units to detect fish as far as 180 feet from the user, anglers have become more efficient at locating and catching fish. This type of pressure could reduce fish populations, which may lead to reduced bag limits for anglers. Would you support banning the use of live scopes and similar 360 imaging electronics in all Wisconsin waters? That is what they are asking. So, if you're a Wisconsin resident, April 8th or April 10th through the 13th, make your opinion known. And I guess, you know what, if you're listening to this and you're against LiveScope, make your opinion known too.
Well, right.
It's like that's the coolest part about living in this country is we can all have different opinions, and normally majority wins. Majority wins. So, you know, whatever. I think it's neat that Wisconsin is putting this out there for the public. My main hope is that they listen to what the public says.
Right.
You know what? If the overwhelming majority of the people that show up to this Congress or to these hearings, if 95% of them are like, we want LiveScope banned. You know what? I guess I'm in that 5% and I think it sucks, but whatever. If 95% of the people that actually, you know, it's no different than voting for president or voting for anything else. The majority wins, and that's just how this works. And so if you want to keep your live scope, get there and tell them your opinion. Like I said, I hope that Wisconsin doesn't have their minds made up beforehand. And this is just kind of, what we're doing. You know, we're going to listen to the, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But, if 95% of the people show up and they're like, hey, we want to keep LiveScope, they come in with factual information. Hopefully, you know, it's like, hey, all right, you know what? More people than what we thought want to keep it. Yep, no problem. Move along.
And it comes down to, too, is like we're all responsible for, you know, protecting our lakes and our waters and stuff like that by not going out there all the time and keeping limits and stuff like that. We talk about that even before forward facing sonar was in here. I mean, there's guys that go out every single day and they catch their limits and they go back home. And as long as they don't have over their possession limits, they're legal to do that and stuff like that. I just don't buy the whole argument of like all of our lakes are going to get fished out, you know, we're right, going right. to, oh, they're all going to be gone and all this stuff because everybody has it. I just, you know, I just think it's just kind of like the knee jerk reaction to it. And everybody just wants to yell it because it's the easy argument.
Right.
It's the easy argument to do there. There's no doubt. I've seen it before on my own experience. I mean, last summer, like we were struggling to catch walleyes when we were on vacation. And then I've kind of got that dialed in and started finding the fish, and it was just like, all right, started catching them more and more. But it's like, but it's only one of the days that I actually catch a limit of walleyes and stuff like that. And most of the time I threw everything back, you know?
So, right.
I mean, I don't know. Do bag limits need to change? You know what?
Even Minnesota's talking,
even without forward facing sonar, I believe that there's some bag limits that need to change. But I mean, again, you can't argue with, like, it's getting people involved with fishing. I mean, the younger generation of kids are really getting into this, and this is what we always want, is like promote the sport and get the youth involved in it. And well, they love technology, and here's a technological tool that's gonna, you know, help lessen that curve a little bit. So I don't know, like all these guys complaining, like at the professional level too. I mean, 2 years ago they were all complaining that Keith Poche kicked their butt in a fishing tournament out of a 17-foot boat with a 40-horse motor on it because he could get into places they couldn't with their big motors and with their big boats. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous. But now everybody, all everybody talks about is we need to go back to the grassroots of things and get rid of a lot of this stuff. And it's just like, it's like, no.
You can't have it both ways. Right,
2 years ago you guys wanted it out, banned and outlaw, like if a guy showed up in a 16-foot boat and waxed you all. So I don't know, it's just we can't keep arguing against each other, and that's always what seems
to happen. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Yeah, absolutely we can. No, it's just one of those things, you know, especially for those people that are doing it for a living. You know, you start to struggle, and you got to come up with excuses. You know, there's a lot of testosterone flying around there, you know, and then, you know, every single person that goes to a fishing tournament, you know, believes that they're the best fisherman there. And you know, you start getting your teeth kicked in a couple times, and, you know, you don't want to admit like, hey, maybe the sport's passed me by, but hey, the sport's passed you by. And so
if you're not willing to change with it.
Yeah. And so, you know, what's the easiest thing to point to? Them dang live scopers, you know, and freaking ruining the sport. Fishing, you know, there ain't any fish left in that lake due to them dang live scopers. And then you got Ed Lochran the third.
Old guy,
but ends up you know, getting a set of glasses that he rigged his freaking live scope to, and I should look back on my phone. I wanted to talk about this, whatever, but instead of like AI, I don't know what they called that.
Yeah, it's no different. It's like some vehicles you can get your speedometer and all your
gauges, like that heads up display.
Yep, is basically what it was. So, and people are like, "Oh my, did you see this? Now this is." It's like, you know what? Actually, it's probably better that it's that way. I mean, he's not looking down all the time and maybe putting strain on his neck and on his body and stuff.
That's why he did it. He was tired of looking down. Augmented reality is what they're calling it.
So everybody's like, oh, now we're going to be having VR. Guess what, guys? You don't have to. It's like you can go out there with no electronics on your boat and go fishing.
Yeah, John Cox isn't complaining about LiveScope. You want to know why? Because old boy's still cashing checks.
Right. It's just like, well, just even like people around here, it's like there's so much jealousy sometimes. And not only jealousy, sometimes you just feel like, well, I can't do it because I don't have that stuff. You get in your own head.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean, I used to be that way in tournaments with like bass tournaments. Like, oh man, I can't, you know, all these guys have all this stuff, so I can't go out there.
Way better and, boats.
And it's just like, you diminish your skills, and it's just like, you know what? No, you got skills, and you got to have confidence in yourself and in your abilities and stuff like that to get out there and go catch fish.
Yep.
And guess what? Some days might not be good, but some days you land on that honey hole and you catch all kinds of fish. And it's, I mean, it's still, I don't know. I just think it's one of those deals where people just get upset.
Yep, just love to complain.
I don't know. It seems like over the last how many years, the Iowa Great Lakes during the summer get a lot of panfish pulled out of them, and they still seem to be doing pretty good over there. So,
you know, I was going to say that, you know, everyone sits there and blames LiveScope. Well, I'll tell you what, social media is responsible for the catching of way more fish than what any sort of active live imaging would ever be. Social media was responsible for catching more fish this short ice season than what live imaging will be in the next 10 years combined.
No, like, I agree.
That just is what it is. It is what it is. And, yeah, whatever, you know, no one's holding back on social media, you know. It is what it is, you know. There's a couple bag limits that maybe, you know, need to be worked through, who knows. But, you know, there's one particular bait shop over in the Iowa Great Lakes area that about 10, 12 years ago started really pumping out social media and really showcasing the fishery over there. And, you know, they weren't telling people where to go and catch fish. But I know that for a while there was a lot of people pretty mad that their bites were getting, you know, showcased on Facebook. And people were going out to, you know, somebody wrote that Miller's Bay was catching big bluegills. And next day, you know, 150 shacks out there. You know what? Y'all caught a whole pile of bluegills again that day and the next day and the next day and the next day. And Okoboji's kicking out bigger fish than what it's ever kicked out. The numbers seem to be better than what they've ever been. I don't know. Sometimes I think a little bit more harvest might actually be good for the overall fishery. You know, you take some of those fish out and there's less fish competing for the forage and I don't know.
I guess if the DNR would come in and say, you know, hey, like, we're starting to see drastic numbers and like these lakes are in, you know, they might be getting fished out and stuff like that. Then it's like, well, okay, well, I'll listen to those guys. Those guys are the professionals and know what they're doing and everything like that. But, I don't know, just a bunch of, you know, keyboard biologists. I just,
well, normally they take seven days to go out there and net the walleyes for the, you know, for the eggs or whatever over there at the hatchery. Last year, I think they got it done in like a night and a half.
Right.
Well, that's telling you that there's a lot of good walleyes in the fishery there. Heck, I don't even think that they did much in Okoboji. They got them all out of a different, I don't even remember, but whatever the case, I mean, I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's struggling. So, you know, with LiveScope and social media, Okoboji still kicking it out. You know, is there some small slough up in South Dakota that probably got fished out because of social media? Yeah, there probably is. But, you know, I'm sure the low water levels didn't have nothing to do with it neither. Who knows? Whatever. We're not going to beat that dead horse any longer. We're getting to good news stories of the week.
That's right.
Brought to you by Freedom Brew. I was actually over at Austin and Brianna's house last night. Brought my boy over to Larchwood, dropped him off at his mom's house, was coming back by. Text Austin and said, hey, you outside? And he said, sure am. Swung on in, BS'd about coffee, BS'd about
life,
cruise ships and everything else. But Freedom Brew there in Larchwood, Iowa, the absolute best coffee shop that there is. Anyone who's been there always tells me, you know what, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah, we haven't had anybody call us out and say, hey, tried it, didn't like it.
Yeah.
Everybody always calls us and says, hey, tried it, loved it.
Loved it. Need more of it. Yep. So, Freedom Brew there in Larchwood, Iowa. Worth your drive from anywhere. Good news stories of the week. Matt, I'll let you start because I'm gonna probably go off for about 5 minutes.
All right.
You know, not Close in a bad down. Way. It's good no. news story.
I'm going to give a shout out to my niece, Kelsey.
All right.
She qualified for the state Knights of Columbus free throw shooting competition.
She did.
Yep. Last weekend, I think it was, up in Laverne, she was able to make 17 of 25, I believe, to win, to qualify to go on to the state shoot. So I think that's coming up here in early April up in St. Cloud. So
more successful than what her dad will ever be.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to put any pressure on her, but I did get third 1 year in the state level. So
at St. Cloud?
Yep. So hopefully she can go out there and do better than me. I'm cheering for her that she yep. is. So that's my good news story.
Represent the last name.
I mean, yeah, she's got to definitely have to do, you know, she definitely did better than her dad ever did. I don't even know if he even got out of the Ellsworth level, the district, the local level. I don't know.
He was shooting it at the wrong basket.
But they were encouraging to him. Hey, that was awesome. You got closer to the rim this time. Oh, you just about hit the net this
cool
time.
Cool shoes, Mike.
Cool shoes. Are those Deion Sanders?
Much, you're not much of a basketball player, but cool shoes.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, have you thought about football?
And I hear your brother is cool. Yeah. Not Brent. Nope. My good news story this week, I just want to give a shout out to my parents. They brought me and my family, my brother and his family, and of course them down on a cruise this last week. We flew into Miami, went down through the Bahamas there for... Let me see here. We got down there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know. 4 nights, 5 nights, whatever. Got on a Monday, got off on a Friday. But pretty good weather. Overall, fine. Thunderstormed one night. I remember waking up and thinking, it's thunderstorming out there. And then that was about all I remember of that. So whatever. But really cool, you know. I've got a 3-year-old, my brother's got a 2-year-old and like a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, you know, seeing all those young kids play together, you know, out on the beach and whatnot, just a lot of fun. And, you know, just neat to have that time, you know, where a whole entire family gets to be together and eat together and laugh together and whatever. So, just want to give a shout out to my parents that, you know, they blessed us with that opportunity. Kind of a weird deal, on our way down there on Sunday of last week, we flew from Rock Rapids. We flew from Sioux Falls to Minneapolis, and then Minneapolis was supposed to go to Miami. And on the backs of the seats, you know, they got these TVs, and you can kind of watch like your track.
Yep.
And we got down like close to Atlanta, and we did like this big 360, and all of a sudden started heading back down. And I'm like, well, this thing's got to be like wonky. That? Like, what the heck's going on here? Just something's got to be off on it. And so we're getting down there, and pretty soon, like, we're going way down on the west side of Florida. And it's like, well, we're going to Miami. Like, it looks like we're about to go to Fort Myers or Naples or something. And all of a sudden, like, sharp corner and heading over towards Miami. And it's like, what the heck is going on? Like, this dude's just blazing his own path or something. And all of a sudden he comes over the loudspeaker and he's like, yeah, due to some weather in Miami, we're not going to be able to land in Miami. So we're going to West Palm Beach, and we're going to land in West Palm Beach because we don't got enough gas to make it to Miami or something like that. And it's like, well, West Palm Beach is like 40 miles north of Miami. So right. We're cutting her this close, right. like
you don't play with that.
Yeah, like what is going
just,
on?
You
here?
Just had an experience with gas, and
yeah, exactly. Like, I even said that to my brother. I'm like, man, we're gonna do this 2 weekends in a row.
You
like,
got a side by side in the back here.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, I ain't got no side by side in the back of this 757. So I'm just like, what is going on here? And I'll be damned. We go and we land in West Palm Beach. Okay. So, like, now what? Well, still bad weather going on down there in Miami. Not going to be able to leave for an hour. And we can't get off the airplane.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
And we got a bunch of 3-year-olds.
I was going to say a bunch of kids. And
so, okay. There was some Minnesota, like, offensive or defensive linemen. Like, we're talking big boys from Minnesota Gophers in the back, like, tucked into these little seats, and I'm like, oh boy. You know, I mean, not only we just flew for 3 hours and right. 20 minutes. Now we got another hour. So we sit there for an hour, and they're like, yeah, we're extending it another hour.
Oh my.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So at this point in time, like, we're closing in on being here for like 5 hours, right. four and a half,
stuck
whatever.
In a plane.
So finally, they're like, nope. They open it back up. We're rolling. All right. So we wheel back. We finally get down there to Miami. In the meantime, like, we had airport shuttles and whatnot that all backed out on us because we didn't make it in time and just wonky, whatever. But aside from that, everything was really, really good. One of the days at Coco Cay, which is like Royal Caribbean's own cruise line, we rented like this cabana deal, this private cabana, which was really super cool. Had our own little slice of the beach to ourselves. And all of a sudden this lifeguard dude's like, "Hey, just letting you know, there's a big ray heading your way." And I'm like, "Oh yeah?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, there is." And that bug, that baby's like way big.
Really,
like,
big, huh?
Like the size of the freaking hood of my car.
Wow.
And yeah, whatever. So, you know, we see it come by, and it's always kind of in the area. And the water was actually just cool enough that you know, like, you didn't mind going up, like, close to your waist. But
right.
You know how it goes. Yep. You don't want to drop the midsection through.
Yep.
So, you know, we weren't really too worried about it because we were never too far in there. And the one time, like, the kids are kind of playing around, and I've gone back to the cabana, and we're coming back down, and somebody's like, you know, "Has anyone seen the ray yet?" And I'm like, "No." And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, like, we're talking right down in front of us, like close to us, like 10 feet away from us. And it had done that whole deal, like where it would kind of go down and kick the sand up on top of it. And, you know, I can see the outline, and it's like, holy moly. Like, that was kind of, you know, it's one thing if a ray just kind of comes through. It's like, hey, you know, they don't want to mess with you just as much as you don't want to mess with them. Like, well, what are you doing? Like, I mean, we're hanging out in this little, like, 25-foot stretch of beach here. What are you doing, like, just hanging out right there? Yeah. That was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But whatever, I threw a rock at him, and he got out of there. So, whatever. But we actually saw a shark come by there, too. A lemon shark is what the lifeguard, or maybe it was one of the bartenders, said. Lemon shark. I'd say it was like 3.5 feet long or something. Like, and not big enough that I'm like too, I don't know. Yeah. You know, something like that.
Make it, you
40. Yeah. Man,
come on. You got to be like, no, it was like 13.
Yeah. It was like 18 15. Foot. You know, it was,
I swam out there. They
said
it
was, they said totally it was a great white. Here. I was like, no way.
Punched it right in its lemon nose.
Yeah. I've seen bigger, but, whatever. So that was kind of weird, you know, just sitting there kind of all swimming, doing our thing. And I was actually like looking for the ray, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, oh, there's the ray over there. Cause my polarized sunglasses could really cut through. And it's like, nope, that ain't no ray. That's a dang shark. So I turned around and I said to my dad, I'm like, "Hey, there's a shark down here." And my brother's like, "You don't yell shark on a beach." It's like, okay, my bad. So, whatever. We kind of took a look at that, and it ended up swimming away, and whatever. That was cool. But, yeah, otherwise, good weather.
It's awesome, man.
Yep. So, everyone stayed safe, ate too much, and yeah, whatever. Like I said, hats off to my parents for that. And, with that being said, I think we'll call that for episode 257. We appreciate you guys, and, we'll catch you next week on episode 258.
Damn right.
Later.